Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's up, buds?
To this end, hit along the wall, a puck to the left point, kept in by Orpik, down in front, a shot, and they score! And it's Devontae Smith-Pelly on a save at the left point! DSP save of the day! We're tied at three with 10:08 to go! How about Devontae? The Caps with life here in Game 5!
Welcome back to Japers Rink Radio. I am your host, Adam Stringham, and today I'm happy to be joined by John Press. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing tremendously well. How are you?
I'm good. You've been enjoying these few days here without Caps hockey?
Yeah, you know, it's given me an opportunity to do other things with my evenings. I don't mind a few days off, and hopefully more than that, hopefully the team's taking the time to get a little healthier, get a little more rested, get a little refocused, and, get ready for a push down the stretch, or, you know, maybe not even that big a push down the stretch, but ready for what comes next.
Now, did you get an early start on this break like the Capitals did? Did you turn off that Carolina game a little bit early, or what are we looking at?
You know what? I said in Slack, I said, I've seen enough or something like that. But, I usually keep it on just to see if, anybody murders anybody or whatever. So, OV goals are always a treat. So, I keep it on for that. And especially against a team like that where things could get a little feisty, it's worth keeping on just to see where things go and that kind of thing. So I did keep it on, it was a discouraging effort to say the least.
Now I know we all have or you and I think both have a fond spot for Eric Tolsky. But besides that, I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes are, they feel like they're kind of becoming like a top three or four rival for the Capitals now. I mean, where do they kind of rank on your rivalry list?
Yeah, I think they're right up there. I mean, I think right at the moment they're number two. Maybe you put them at three behind the Rangers because of the amount of history that's there. But I mean, you know, throughout the Caps history, there's an obvious number one. Yeah. And then, you know, I think that to me, the Flyers and Rangers, obviously more so back in the late 80s and on, but the Rangers through the Lundqvist-Ovechkin battles and everything, they've been right there. But, you know, to me, Carolina, you know, certainly right now, I think that they're right there. They're a team that, you know, typically the Caps get up for and play well against. I think they took three out of four from Carolina this year, that last game notwithstanding. You know, they had that playoff series a couple years ago, obviously that didn't go the Caps way. And I think there's enough bad blood between them and the proximity and everything that, yeah, I do think it's a good rival. I mean, I don't think there's any question that the Caps are the Canes' biggest rivals. And, you know, the Canes seem, from their social media, through their coach, through their players, through their fans, they seem a little bit, obsessed with the Caps. You know, I think it's reciprocal to an extent. I also would add the Islanders to that earlier group of teams I mentioned with the rivalry. But I mean, Canes clearly in the top five, and at the current moment, I would say they're probably top three. What do you think?
Yeah, I got the Penguins one. I probably got. It's tough. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, last few years, it's definitely then I think I put the Hurricanes on next, just because it's kind of been cooler recently with the Rangers, you know, yeah. The Panarin Wilson thing aside,
right.
You know, and then you got to throw probably, I'd have Philly at four behind those two. So
you do have the Islanders though, you know, with Trotz and with the playoff series, you know, they're on the list. So,
yeah, I guess I just,
and I mean, really, I don't know. I mean, little dark horse, the Bruins are a little bit of a dark horse, I think, dark horse rival for the Caps, but you know, not to the extent of those other teams. There are a lot of fucking loathsome teams in the Eastern Conference, and a lot of them the Caps have played and lost to in key moments recently, and some of them they've beaten in key moments recently. So
I like those games against Boston a lot more when Holtby was in the net and he went, you know, what was like 20 straight appearances without a loss to the Bruins.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, so that was always a bit that was fun. I was sad when that ended. But kind of getting more to what we're seeing on the ice, the Capitals had a, you know, a bit more activity than I expected on the trade deadline. No, they did not kind of shake the foundation. But I was surprised to see kind of some nostalgia creep back into the Capitals' decision-making. What are your thoughts on their deadline day deals?
Well, I don't think – I mean, obviously they were small. I don't know that it was necessarily nostalgia creeping in or anything. I mean, they didn't go bring back Jay Beagle or something. Yeah. I think it was a guy that they saw at a price that they were okay with and you know, a guy that they were familiar with. You know, I guess you could call it nostalgia, but what it really is familiarity and the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And I think they kind of know what they're going to get from Marcus Johansson. And, you know, I think they're probably getting it right now. I think I wasn't thrilled with that move, but, you know, it's a depth move. The reality of it is, that, you know, you look at this team and, they're going to be a long shot to do anything in the playoffs, right? I mean, they're going to, in all likelihood, draw, finish in a wild card spot. I don't think they're going to catch the Rangers, and certainly not the Penguins or the Hurricanes. And so that most likely means Carolina or Florida in the first round. And those are two excellent teams. So, you know, you got to wonder, you know, how many chips do you push into the pot when you, when you're facing that, you know, do you go big and grab a dude who's going to maybe push your odds of winning that playoff that first round series from 35% to 40%? You know, is that really worth giving up maybe a first round pick and a prospect for, you know? So to me, what they did was they said, okay, the best chance we have at beating one of these teams is to focus on our defensive play, buckle down, get a little deeper where we can, and, you know, hope to turn the games into coin flips. And, you know, maybe you win 4 out of 7 coin flips. They certainly did in, you know, talking about Holtby and the Bruins, you know, in Holtby's first year with Dale Hunter. They did that against the Bruins. They were not the better team throughout the regular season, but they got into a situation where you're playing 2-1 games, and anybody can win 2-1 games, you know, those are coin flips. And they almost coin flipped their way through the second round against the Rangers. They lost in 7. So I think that's sort of the blueprint for what they're doing here. And it's hard to blame them because it's reality. It's, you know, this team is what it is. When they're playing well, when they're healthy, they can play against anyone and play with anyone and beat anyone. But, you know, they can also lose to just about anyone. And, you know, playing 7 games against, 4 to 7 games against a Carolina or a Florida, it's a tall task to ask the Caps to win 4 times. So, you know, I think they kept their powder relatively dry while not completely folding. And it makes sense. I'm a little surprised with that strategy in mind that they didn't go get a cheap defenseman that could play, because frankly, right now, I don't think that Michael Kempney can. And, you know, hopefully Trevor Van Riemsdyk's back real soon, because, but, you know, I say real soon, it doesn't really matter, right? Like where the Caps are almost as locked into a playoff spot and an exact seeding as any team in the NHL. I mean, I don't know what, maybe I'll look this up, but, you know, the likelihood that any team finishes in a specific spot, you know, 1 through 8 in the conference, or, you know, the wild card, 1 through 3 in their division. I bet the Caps right now are most likely to finish where they are of any team in the playoff picture. I can't imagine anyone. I mean, maybe Colorado finishing first in their division, I guess, would be more likely. But other than that, I think, you know, I think the Caps are locked and loaded. So, you know, it's time to maybe take the gas off the foot off the gas and rest some guys up, focus on some things, try some things, and get ready for trying to face one of those top teams.
Yeah, I mean, you've been saying on Twitter and writing about the kind of load management. Is that what you're seeing from the Capitals right now? Or are you, with Ovechkin specifically, it looks like his ice time's kind of started to drop off, and it's not, I think you did what everyone really wanted to know: how much is this hurting his chase of Gretzky? And it wasn't too bad.
No, it's not too bad. And yeah, I mean, the post is up on the site, and essentially it's a post talking about how load management, which is just kind of a fancy word for saying giving old guys some rest, it's it's widely accepted and practiced in the NBA. Not so much in the NHL. You know, you'll see guys sit the last game of a season or something like that, last two games maybe, when their playoff spot's locked and loaded. But you don't really see it in the NHL like you do in the NBA. But, you know, if there was ever a time to do it, it would be the Caps right now because of what we talked about how locked in they are to their spot in the playoffs. And, you know, they're not going to sit Ovechkin, obviously. This guy is chasing Gretzky's record. And the only way that he's going to willingly sit out games is if there's an all-star game around. But, you know, there are other ways to manage load, maybe not quite as effectively, but, you know, in that post, I looked at his ice time by segment of the season, and they've played 68 games so far. In the first 34 games, half the season, he was averaging 16 minutes of 5-on-5 ice time per game. And over the last 17 games, which is a quarter of the season so far, he's down to just over 13 minutes a game. So that's almost a 3-minute reduction in his ice time. I think his total ice time's down about 17% right now from in this last segment from where it was for the first half of the season, which, of course, you'll recall he was carrying the entire team on his back because the entire second line was out. So, you know, it doesn't sound like much, you know, three fewer minutes per night, but for if a guy's averaging 21 minutes, then reducing it by 3 minutes a night every seven games, you're getting like a game off, essentially, you know. So it's not quite the full rest, because there are things, you know, you're still taking morning skates or warm-ups or whatever, and you're still preparing the same way you would for a 21-minute game, you know, when you're playing 18 minutes or whatever. But it's a reduction, you know. That's fewer shots he's taking. That's fewer hits he's taking. It's fewer hits he's dishing out. It's less, a little less of everything. And, you know, when you reach the age that he's at, you know, a little less of everything can't hurt. And, you know, what do they miss from reducing those minutes? It's not much. It's like a goal every 17 games or something like that. I think it was. I forget exactly what it was. But, you know, don't worry. He's still playing almost the exact amount of time on the power play. All his reduction is coming basically at 5-on-5. And that's, you know, that's what you would want to see with this team, is a team where you can roll four lines. And there have been stretches of this season where the fourth line, you know, the nominal fourth line with Dowd and Hathaway, has been their best line. I mean, and not just like a game here and there, but like legit stretches of the season. And so if you could get to a point where your Ovechkin-Kuznetsov line and your Backstrom-Mantha-Oshie line and your, you know, McMichael, Eller, Sherry, or whatever your third line is going to be, and then your fourth line with Dowd and Hathaway are all playing pretty even minutes at 5-on-5. I think that's what you want to see, and I think that's as close as you're going to really get to load management on this team, or maybe even in the NHL. And you know, that's probably the best that we can hope for, and a realistic way to manage those minutes. I mean, you got guys, some of your other old guys like Backstrom and Oshie, their minutes have been managed by virtue of injury, right? By missing huge swaths of the season. So, you know, ostensibly, they should have gas in the tank. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, the reduction in minutes, the kind of tightening up of the spread of who's playing what, is welcome. I think we could still see a lot more from Connor McMichael in terms of the ice time he's given, not more from him. I think he's doing rather well in the minutes he's given. I think he could play more minutes, but obviously he's a guy who is almost exclusively playing at fives. So But by and large, the spread is pretty good right now, I think.
You know, with Ovi getting less minutes and Mojo being a new face in the team, what did you think about, well, I guess it's kind of independent from Ovechkin's minutes, but what did you think about when they traded back for Marcus? I mean, they put him right on the first line off the get-go, which was surprising to me because, as you said, he's kind of more of a depth player at this point. I mean, it was a depth move, but doesn't always necessarily feel that way if the guy's getting top line minutes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that, and I think this is what Peter Laviolette said, was that he threw him out there with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov because he knows those guys, he's played with them before, and there's some familiarity there. I don't think that's where he's destined to be, and I think by last game, you saw him off that line and Tom Wilson back up there. And so where he ultimately ends up remains to be seen. But now is the time to be trying things and trying to find something that clicks and something that works. And certainly they like Ovechkin and Kuznetsov together. I do too. I'm not a huge fan of Ovechkin and Backstrom together at this point. So the question is, who's the right wing on that line? You know, is it Tom Wilson? Is it Marcus Johansson? Is it, who knows who it is? You know, maybe it's Oshie. Maybe they've tried Sherry there. Maybe it's Sherry. They'll figure out, hopefully, what works best. And, you know, I think they're pretty set on their second line, and they're set with most of their fourth line. I don't know that Janssen Fjällby is there once everybody gets healthy, especially with Johan Larsson in the mix, presumably someday. So, we'll see. But now is the time to kind of play around with it.
So heading down the stretch, are you more concerned about the process or the results?
Definitely the process, because I don't think that the results one way or the other are really going to change anything. You know, they have, I think, 14 games left. Obviously, they run the table in those 14, and they're going to be they may get out of that wild card spot. They drop those 14 and literally probably are still in the wild card spot, barring, one of these other teams kind of really getting hot. But, it is about process. It is about looking good and getting an understanding of what they need to do to be successful, even if those results don't come. You know, I think that they've gotten a little loose recently. They were a little better for most of March, but there's some things that are bubbling up that are of some concern. I didn't think they were great against the Devils. I didn't think they were great against the Blues, and Vitek Vanacek hasn't been great in his last seven or eight starts. And, to be sure, a lot of that falls on the defense in front of him. But he also hasn't been as sharp as he had been earlier on. So, you know, it's another place where you look at load management. And actually, the only place in the NHL where that concept seems to have actually gotten a foothold is with goalies, right? Like a couple years ago, not even 10 years ago, Braden Holtby started 72 games for the Caps, right? And he came in relief in another. I think he had 73 appearances in 1 year. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, goalies are getting a lot more rest than that, and it makes sense. And if Vitek Vanacek needs a little more rest down the stretch, I'm fine with that. Whatever is going to put, I think he's clearly established himself as this team's number one goalie when the playoffs start for right now. That is subject to change. But, whatever is going to make him, allow him to be his best in that game one of the playoffs, I'd work towards right now, whether that's playing every single game on the way out, playing every other game, playing, whatever it is, they need him to be as sharp as possible. Otherwise, they really don't have a chance. You know, he's got to be a guy, or Samsonov, if he gets a shot, they've got to be guys who don't lose games for them at an absolute minimum, but you know, hopefully can steal one or two here or there.
Yeah, I mean, as we've said multiple times on the podcast before, the Capitals aren't quite in the place where they were 5 years ago, where they just need that kind of break-even goaltender.
Right.
You know, they'll probably need a game or two if their goal is to, you know, make it out of the first round or anything beyond that. Like, I guess if the goalies, you know, break even in one round, anything can happen. But after that, they'll need a bit more, especially with, you know, I'm looking at Micah Blake McCurdy's great site, hockeyviz.com, and Carolina is the number one opponent, as you said, 36%, mm-hmm. Florida at 31%, Toronto at 11%, the Rangers at 10%. To bring this conversation full circle, we've talked about kind of the Caps-Carolina rivalry. Who do you think the better matchup is for the Caps if they're up against one of those two teams, Carolina or Florida?
I think I'd take Carolina, just largely because, I mean, first of all, the Caps have played them well this year. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. They played them well in 2019 during the regular season too, and then lost in the playoffs in the first round. So, you know, I think that the familiarity with Carolina is a good thing if your coach is actually good. And if Peter Laviolette is actually a good coach, then the familiarity should be a benefit to him. Now, of course, that cuts both ways. You know, Rod Brind'Amour has seen plenty of the Caps, and he seems to be a good coach himself. But, you know, Florida is, to me, a lot more of an unknown. And, you know, that they're a prolific offensive team. You know, their goalies had some issues in the playoffs in the past, so maybe that makes you want to play them a little bit. And maybe there is a little less drama involved in playing them, and you can go out and just play hockey and not focus on the other team's coach whining about you hitting their players or whatever, or whining about the calls he's not getting, or whining about this or that. But, you know, I think I'd rather the Caps play Carolina, but either way, they're going to be massive underdogs, and it's going to be a huge, huge task to face and try to beat one of those teams. Which would you rather face?
It's tough. You know, Carolina is, they're a really good team. I have liked what I've seen from the Capitals most of the time when they matched up against Carolina. I actually think it's been some of their better games of the season, last matchup notwithstanding. The games that stand out to me against Florida is the one where they blew that big lead. That was kind of right before the Capitals, or maybe it was the game that directly preceded their big drop-off in play. Really, the only reason that I would prefer Florida, which I actually do think I'd still prefer Carolina, but it is that goaltending question. Leaky goals are backbreakers. Last time you were on, you talked about them relative to the Caps, and I think there's a good chance that Florida will give up some of those in the playoffs, and it's everything being so amplified. You know, Florida put a hell of a good show on last year. They scored a lot of goals, you know, despite everything. But goaltending, you need average goaltending to win, and I'm not sure that Florida is going to get that. So, actually, I think I would rather have the Caps play Florida. But it's a very tough call, though, for me.
I think you pinpointed it, by the way. I mean, the Caps, at the end of November, they were 13-3-5. They beat Florida at home to go to 13-3-5. Then they beat Carolina on the road to go to 14-3-5. And then the next night, I think it was, right? Was it back-to-back nights? No, I guess it was two nights later. They're in Florida. They're up 4-1 after two periods, and they give up four straight goals to Florida and lose in regulation. Yeah. Just absolutely brutal. That was a late Beck Malenstein penalty that puts Florida on the power play, and they score 15 seconds left. And really, like, if you look at, and I had written about this in maybe February, but that game, that was, you pinpointed it. That is when shit turned in the wrong direction. And, you know, maybe it's a coincidence. A lot of other things happened too. You know, they started missing dudes with COVID and this, that, and the other thing. But like the line, the way things dropped off a cliff, basically after two periods on that game on November 30th, and didn't get right until literally like March, to the beginning of March. That got brutal fast.
Moment that mattered.
Yeah, exactly right.
But it's going to be an interesting stretch for Washington here. I mean, they've got a pretty tough schedule down the stretch. I mean, we really get to see how their process is going to look, assuming the Capitals play that way, assuming they try to get into the right rhythm, because they could, at least for until maybe there's five games left, just start pulling every lever they can, you know, mix and match, see what works, what doesn't. Do I think they'll do that? Absolutely not. But that'd be pretty interesting if they did.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because for so many years we talked about how the Caps being in the Southeast Division, the last month of the season really didn't matter to them, right? And how it appeared that they couldn't just flip the switch come playoff time and get back on track and turn things back on again. But this is going to be a last, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, where they don't really have that much standings wise to play for, but there's a lot to play for. You know, there's guys fighting for positions when, if God willing, they get healthy, you know, who's going to be, which forward is going to be the odd man out? You know, is it going to be, you know, Lars Eller? Is it going to be Connor McMichael? I hope not. Is it going to be Marcus Johansson? Did they just trade for a dude and pay for the honor of scratching him? They could have scratched Daniel Sprong forever for free, you know? But you know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they round into shape, hopefully over the next month or a little less than a month, and you know, really gear up for what's going to be a tough road to hoe in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since the Capitals have even gotten out of the first round, and maybe this is their chance. But what do you think, John? I guess this is really my last question for you, unless there's other stuff you want to touch on, because we're already at about 30 minutes. Will the Capitals win a round in the playoffs this year?
Odds are that they won't. And, you know, whoever they end up playing is going to probably be at least a 60-40 favorite to win. Maybe closer to 70-30, depending on how things shake out the rest of the way down the stretch. And, you know, those are long odds, but they're not impossible odds. You know, if you get a hit three times out of every 10 times you come to play in the majors, you're probably an all-star. So like, you know, it's not, I don't know. I mean,
so you're telling me they're going to do a good job, even if they're 30%.
I'm telling you, there's a chance. Yeah. I'm telling you that anything can happen. This isn't the best Caps team we've ever seen heading into a playoffs. It's probably not the worst Caps team. I mean, the reality about this Caps team, it's a little deceptive, right? Because they're locked into the seventh, probably eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. And that might make you think that they're mediocre or that they, you know, even stink. But that's certainly not the case. I mean, they would probably be the third or fourth best team in the Western Conference right now. And the East just happens to be super stacked. And unfortunately for the Caps, they're not. And are they a good team? Yeah, they're a good team. Are they a great team? No. Are they a top-tier team? They're not. But they're a good team. And, you know, good teams can win playoff games sometimes. So I wouldn't give up all hope at all. But am I going to pick them to win a round in the playoffs? Let's tell you what. Why don't I come and talk to you again to preview the playoff series, and I'll make my prediction then.
All right, I like it. I thought you were going to say just read that playoff round table, but I think it'll be good to have you on to talk about it then.
I'll come back and talk about it.
All right, John. It's always fun to have you on, buddy. You know, it's an interesting time for the Caps, and I'm sure it's an interesting time for our listeners as well. Everyone can follow you at Japers Rink. Anything you want to plug specifically today?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. On behalf of myself and John Press, thanks for listening to this episode of Japers Rink Radio.